A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Michael Hanford.
Ho 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 and all that.
And Timothy Kalpakis.
What is up, Dutton Stylies?
Oh boy.
You invented the drink, dude.
Okay. Hey, speaking of Dutton, have you seen those ads, those Coors ads in stores?
That say
like, live like a Dutton.
Oh, it's from Yellowstone, right?
Yeah, because I didn't know the family on Yellowstone is called the Duttons.
No, and that's one of those shows that's like huge, right? And
it's like probably season seven.
It's a bit, really? Really big dad show, and now it's become an empire. There's like spinoff shows and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a P plus, right?
P plus in the P plus family.
I remember as if it happened so long ago, but at Thanksgiving, the TV was on and there was a commercial for one of the spinoffs, and I was like, what is that? Is that Yellowstone? Is that show? Because it said Yellowstone on the bottom. My dad was like, no, that's a spinoff from that show.
Nice.
But he doesn't watch Yellowstone. He just knows it's a spinoff.
Hey, back to the Duttons.
Back to the
have you seen The Crazies, the 2010 like zombie-ish movie? Tim, you haven't.
Zombie movies.
No. Is that the one where one of them is dragging a pitchfork at some point?
On the cover, apparently.
That's what I know it from.
Timothy Oliphant's character, the main dude, his name is David Dutton. That's my dad.
Hey, that's cool.
It's kind of weird to get exactly the first and last name of a real dude.
Yeah.
Especially a dad of mine.
But yeah,
there's a character in that show named Tim Kalpakis, I think.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. It's his son's friend. Yeah,
you know that handsome guy who comes to town and fixes everything for everybody?
Fixes
up a couple of Calvi cordials and leaves.
I thought, oh, I'm mistaking him for the village dunce.
Hey!
The village dunced.
Ooh. The village Kirsten dunced.
Are we not going to call out the elephant in the room? Hanford's got a handsome haircut.
Ooh. Streamlined.
It was, thank you very much, it was tough going when I got this haircut. It was, I sat down and I said, just take like an inch off all around. And she kept asking me, do you want it over the ears?
I said that to my moil.
You keep in touch with your moil still, don't you?
Yeah. Can I get another trim?
Go to lunch with this guy.
This thing keeps growing in.
Summer's coming up. I want a nice clean cut.
My summer cut. Yo!
He says, Timmy, I'm going to need a microscope to find the fucking thing. Hey, come on.
I just want to say all the dudes right now are listening going, oh, that sucks, man. Oh, shit. To even mention that shit. Anyway, I sat down in the chair. Yes, I said that. And she kept saying, you want to go over the ears? You know, keep it like up higher than the ears. And I said, kind of game time. We're right in the middle. I said, you know what? Let's go over the ears. Let's make it short. And she did that. And you might not be able to tell, but she gave me a bowl cut here on the sides.
It's way above the ears.
It's way above the ears, which I like. It's just a little bowly. There's a bit, kind of like a shelf, right, on the whole thing. But it worked out.
What's wrong with being bowly? It worked for the Big Lebowski.
That's true. I can't argue with you on that one. I want to really hand your ass to you, but I can't. He's right. It worked for the Big Lebowski. Another thing this hairdresser did, very nice lady, and no chit-chat. We didn't do any chit-chat. It was just me and her.
Really?
In this, Yeah, in this
silent,
empty hair salon, barbershop. I don't know. I guess it wasn't a barbershop, but we're just sitting there quietly, and she's cutting the hair and would ask me questions every so often.
All you can hear is snips.
Yep. But then she did this thing I've never had before. She was just about to wrap up. She looks at my face and takes a comb, puts it in my eyebrows, and cuts
my eyebrows. Wow. Yeah, you guys don't get that?
No.
I've never had that before, and it was done so quickly that you couldn't even be like, oh, wait, hold, what are you doing?
No, I got to do that. I get like Dr. Wily eyebrows.
Sure, sure, but I just never, especially without asking, because I never had my face.
Without consent.
I never had my face clipped, just by hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she did a good job. It looks great. It was just... It was
quick, sharp, and Mike, it grows back. Don't worry about it.
Oh,
I'm talking
on,
about the bowl aspect.
Yeah, yeah. No, the bowl, it's fine. You know, people are going to see me out in public. People in public have said, hey, you got a great haircut.
Hey, can I talk to you for a second? Step over here. Hey, great haircut. Hey, salut.
Come here. Hey, salut. Hey, what's up? What's up with you? Hey, great haircut, huh?
Yeah. And hey, say hi to your mother.
Say hi to your mother. And give gratitude for some of those snips, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys remember on Sesame Street? There was that guy in the park who would approach Ernie and be like, hey, kid, would you like to buy a letter S?
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, that is weird. I remember I remember that, though. But we didn't
We're not here to talk about the letter S.
We didn't have Sesame Street at my house. We had Caraway Avenue. It sucked.
All right, is that enough? Is that enough shit chat?
Yep, let's get into.
I think so.
Bip, 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 booze news. Hit it.
Oh, I couldn't let Tim take the crown.
It's booze news, you dumb dildos.
Wow.
Damn.
Booze news lineup was sent to us by the Grunchman, John French. And if you have a booze news theme, email to the sloppyboyspodcast at gmail.com.
Everything about that was funny, down to his name. What was it?
Oh, the Grunchman?
Grunchman did it, man. That was cool. That was good.
Mitch is going to love that. He loves Pink Floyd. It's like tailor-made for him.
That's probably why Gruncher did it.
He says that Tim, you couldn't let him come for the crown. He's like passing out as he says that. He's coming for the crown.
That was a good use of what Jeff, you know, you've described as like what people hate on this podcast. Yes. Or any
mouth noises, gas noises.
Yeah. Good to put that to good use. Hey, you know, we've got Claire O'Kane on this month's Questions for Lennon on the Patreon.
Oh, love Claire.
She's super funny. It's a great
interview. She writes for SNL?
Yep. Not interview. It's a great Q&A, whatever. You know what we do on Quest for Lennon. We get advice questions and we answer them. And she mentioned, this is before we recorded, she was like, oh, I listened to the, she listens to every episode. She's a fan. So I listened to the lineup, and you guys like sipping and slurping was disgusting.
Oh, yeah. In the lineup episode, first we did them individually, and that was okay. Yeah. But when we, all four of us with Mitch, did it at the same time, it was just a silent minute of like,
Some people like it, though.
Yeah, I like it.
But you take that, and then you get a 2-hour and 45-minute episode. So you got to sit through some of that stuff.
Yeah, you're going to have to sit through some stuff, folks.
Sorry.
I think Peter Jackson actually produced that episode, weirdly.
Peter Jackson?
Well, top story, folks.
Yes.
The boys hit the road.
Oh, Zowie.
That's right. Next year, we're embarking with our friends Dear Blanca on the 2023 Midwest Mudslide Tour.
Nice.
Hell yeah. You're telling me that Dear Blanca, the indie rock band that we toured with earlier this year in the spring, you're saying that we did the Great Atlantic Blowout. Mm-hmm. And then you're telling me that over the summer, we did the...
Great Pacific Blowout.
Great Pacific Blowout. And you're telling me that now in this coming spring, we're going to be doing the Midwest Mudslide Tour?
Tim, that's what I'm telling you. Mark your calendars, folks. Get those pencils ready. Here come the dates. March 31st, we're playing New Orleans, Louisiana. Gossa, gossa.
April 2nd, Memphis, Tennessee at the High Tone.
April 3rd, St. Louis, Missouri at the Sinkhole.
April 4th, Davenport, Iowa, the Raccoon Motel.
April 6th, St. Paul, Minnesota, the Turf Club. And that is T-U-R-F, just so you know.
April 7th, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, X-Ray Arcade is where we're going to be playing.
April 8th, Chicago, Illinois, Beat Kitchen. And just added Sunday, April 9th, the Pyramid Scheme in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
April 10th, Detroit, Michigan, Lager House.
April 12th, you know we're coming to Cincinnati, Ohio at the MOTR Pub. That's the Motor Pub.
April 13th, we're playing Loveville, Kentucky at Kaiju.
And closing it on out, April 15th, a.k.a. Tax Day, we're going to be in Hotlanta, Georgia, playing 529. That's 529.
Ooh, that's going to be fun.
I can't wait. This is a lot of cities we've never played before, a chunk of the country that we have neglected. And most importantly, folks, this is us going on the road to prove that we're a band. Yeah, we have a podcast, but we're musicians and we're good.
Mm. I will have, if anyone on the Discord has been, I'm sure people have talked about the show, but people have a wild time at these shows. Mm-hmm. They're fun. It's nonstop. Dear Blanca rocks. Then we come out and we rock too, and everyone's having a blast, and we see people afterwards and shake some hands and say hello.
Yeah, folks, look around your apartment. You probably see a big piggy bank swelling with coins. Grab a hammer, smash it. Put on your best clothes, come out and see and be seen at the Sloppy Boys Dear Blanca show.
Oh, it's a place to see and be seen.
It's the who's who of who gives a shit. We're all out there.
Come on out at CNBC.
That's what they should say. CNBC on CNBC.
That's good. I think we've said that before, the who's who of who gives a shit. Ah, that's
fun. The who isn't a who done it.
Yes, I'm excited to play a lot of these places. We've been to Chicago before. That's great. But we've never ventured up and down the middle of the country. Right. We've got a lot of people who are going to say to themselves, finally, they're coming to my neck of the woods. Mm. New Orleans is going to be wild. Never been there before.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Did we say Kentucky? Louisville? Ooh-wee.
Yeah. And hey, speaking of our beloved Chicago, we've played Subterranean a couple times. Never played Beat Kitchen. This is going to be a Saturday night, folks.
Beat Kitchen is a good venue. That's perfect for us. I've heard a lot about that place. A lot of these are like the goddamn place. And the fact that neither of you have been to New Orleans, I know you don't want to get too shithouse drunk on the first night of a tour, but it is an off day the next day.
Mm. So who said that? Hold on. Who said that?
Yeah, I didn't say that.
It's common wisdom. But we could really kick that thing off in style, cruising up and down the fucking Bourbon Street. Lots of people are too cool for the French Quarter. Not me, baby.
Not me.
I'm drinking a grenadine. Grenadine. Grenade.
I'll tell you what. We should just show up a few days early and really drink it in.
That's actually a great idea. We eat a bunch of oysters and we'll be all kind of revved up for the show.
Hey, you grill those oysters. I'm right there with you, buddy.
I'll grill them, yeah.
I am right there with you. Bring a little grill to the side of the table. Grill them up.
Well, slop heads, we'll see you out there on the road. Yeah. Anything else for booze news?
I have two pieces of booze news I'd like to discuss.
What, did you have a recent purple candy you liked?
Yeah, no, geez. I just finished those after my dinner. Those were my dessert today.
Yeah, anything else you want to eat on the mic? God damn it.
No, there's something I'd like you to eat. My ass. Stop interrupting me.
I will not.
I will not perform analingus on you.
This is a... I'm calling someone out here on this one. Hate to do it. And I'm not going to be rough with it because maybe there's a perfectly good explanation here. But Tim Kalpakis.
Oh, the K-Man, the number one motherfucker.
Saturday night. It's 8:11 p.m. my time, 5:11 your time. I sent you a text.
Of what?
It's Monday night now, and I'm still waiting for a response to that text.
Okay, so I'm going to have to open up my messages app here.
My messages say it's been delivered, and it was something I took time to... I took a picture, a funny picture, I thought, and sent him something. And
I
thought it might bring a smile to my friend's house. My friend's face.
I'm looking at this. First off, it's bringing a smile to my house right now.
That's good.
Okay, first I'm going to say what it is, and then I'm going to give you my defense.
Okay.
It's a picture. Mike took a picture of a restaurant called Lasagna Ristorante. And then he said, lasagna restaurant, okay.
And the shrug emoji.
And the shrug, I love it. Very.
You know, it's not much. It's not much. It's not, I didn't have to edit anything. I snapped the picture, threw in a little tiny comment. That's it. Didn't
now,
expect much.
Let me tell you, can I take the stand here and explain?
Please.
I don't know where I was in that moment, what I was doing in that moment. However, when I opened it up just now, the text was red. It didn't have a blue dot on it. But
okay. The
picture, maybe my phone's crapping out on me, but when I opened it up, the picture, it just said, it looked like a file. It just said like IMG dot, and there was no picture there. Mm-hmm. So my guess is that I wasn't drunk at 5:11 p.m., but I'm guessing that I looked at it. And I thought, when this picture loads, I'm going to see this picture.
Oh, that's a bummer because it comes in out of order then. So you're seeing lasagna restaurant. Okay.
Exactly. So I read the caption, lasagna restaurant. Okay. And then, but now I get the full effect. I think it's fantastic. I think it's a wonderful text, and I thank you for it.
Good. I'm glad. That's all I wanted to hear. I just want to hear. You can even text me that now if you want.
But I just appreciate you kind of taking up space on your camera roll.
I'm glad. That's going to be on there for a while. I'm glad you didn't just send me a ha-ha and not even were able to see it. So that's great.
Well, all right. I would. I just texted you a thank you with the prayer hands. Mm-hmm. And in general, I would never just double-click ha-ha and then not say anything. I would probably, if I didn't have anything to add, I'd probably then type ha-ha at the very least.
Longhand.
Right. Okay, so I'm seeing your thing. You said thank you. I'm not going to respond to that because I'm talking to you right here. So,
okay.
You don't need to.
You could heart it if you wanted to.
I'm giving you the heart emoji right here. Folks, I'm doing what the soccer players do. I'm putting my hands together as a heart.
I saw a funny tweet recently about a girl was like, I sent him news. I sent him a nude and he emphasized it. And I think it's so funny that... On the man side of that, he went exclamation point, you know, like, you're hot. But like from the girl gets the notification, like emphasized.
Whoa.
This guy was like putting his foot down. This is important. I'd like to underline this.
Okay. My second piece of booze news is I didn't make a little song for this. Maybe I could have, but it's a Hanford holiday tip. This is going to be good. This is just something you can do around the holidays. You can do it any time of year, but a holiday, it really helps you out. You know, they sell those 10 packs of little fireball nips. You sell those?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You get yourself one of those, put them in your, line your pockets with them. And when you go see somebody, like I'm going to have drinks with a friend of mine on Thursday. Uh-huh. We haven't seen each other in a while. He suggested a place. I'm going to go. And when I shake hands with him and say hello, I'm going to have one of those in my hand. In the palm, he's going to see a fireball drink. He's going to love it. He's a fan of the show. He's going to say, oh my gosh, that's great. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you.
And I'm so thankful for you to be in my life.
That's have one with me too. So we'll them really quick on the street or something.
I like that, Mike. I could also imagine, what about a little pat on the back and then in a subtle tone, you drop it in the breast pocket and they find it later on. Who did that? it was Hanford.
Dropping little nips of fireball all across the town.
Sprinkle them good through Brooklyn. I got one of those last year, and I haven't cracked one of them.
Wow. I chug them. I chug them left and right.
It's a fun. Well, it's also a funny thing because a lot of people go, "What the fireball? What is this?"
It's sort of like they're getting iced. Remember that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I never got iced, so I can't speak from experience.
I never got iced. I was too quick.
If you're shaking somebody's hand and then fireball, you got to drink it. That's fun.
You don't have to drink it. No, no pressure on the holidays. But also, the ABV on those things is pretty low, so it's just kind of tiny. A funny. Yeah,
yeah. It's rock bottom.
It's basically a health drink.
Yeah, you're doing them a favor.
If I ever got iced, I would KMS.
Yes, yes.
Kill myself.
Yeah, if I ever got iced, that's what I do. KMS.
Is that a thing? I didn't know KMS was a thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. A big well, is that it for booze news?
Wrap it and crap it.
You should do a flush sound.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
P.U. Well, let's you guys want to talk about the drink of the day?
Do I ever?
This is exciting today. Yeah. This is exciting.
Well, I'm starting to recall. Wait a second. This episode was Dutton Stylies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. You're right. That was 20 minutes ago. Wow. How the time has flown here at the end of the year. This comes from Duddy's Test Kitchen.
Yes. And you have been tinkering and you have been toying. And might I add, we on our Patreon show, The Blowout, this week, we watched the film Gremlins.
Yes.
And there's a character in that who's an inventor, always kind of has gizmos and gadgets and stuff. Jeff, I was sort of picturing you when I was watching that movie. You're in your test kitchen working on this drink. Clang, clang.
Yeah. Well, I hope my inventions fare better than Mr. Gremlins.
Harris was his name?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah.
But folks, more on Mr. Harris and his family in The Blowout.
behind the paywall.
Behind the paywall.
Do you remember the first thing I told you about this drink?
You said molasses.
You were working on a drink.
Yes.
And last spring. Mm-hmm. I was tinkering with the Southern Sipper. And then I said, I'm working on a drink. You said, I'm working on a drink too. And I said, great, great. You go first. And you said, well, but Tim, my boy, my drink is no summer drink.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Jeff, my boy, mine is. So, so I did the Southern Sipper in August and then was waiting.
Yes.
The way that a child has sugar plums dancing in their head on Christmas Eve, I've been waiting to hear about this drink.
Yes. The development process for this drink has been Avatar-esque. Yes, yes. As you recall, the name of the game was molasses. How do we get molasses in a cocktail? And for me, that was just something where I didn't like molasses as a kid. I was like you guys. Oh, we love maple syrup. Ooh, charred maple in the drink at the fancy bar. Yes. Now, that was me when I was like 8, 9 years old.
Uh-huh.
Now, grown man, like my grandfather back in the day, I use blackstrap molasses.
Wow.
A dark, dank, nasty cousin of syrup. Here's what I'll do.
I have to say that for me, growing up in the Catskills, upstate New York, Hudson Valley, molasses flat out did not come across my desk at all. Like, it's not like I was choosing maple syrup. Like, I never tasted molasses until half an hour ago when I was
are you serious?
Same. My molasses never are in my house.
Well, you probably had it in like it ends up in like ginger snaps or like
yes.
Or like
I had my guesses as like to like
taffy
snaps.
I thought I knew a like cookies and stuff like that, and I could have guessed what molasses was, but I had never taken it to the dome ever, and I couldn't find blackstrap, so I just have grandma's normal.
Yeah, whatever. I think that's fine.
I got blackstrap.
Ooh, that's blackstrap. I think is just like a classification of molasses. That's just like the deepest, darkest.
I looked it up. It's like boiled one more time, so it's like it's like the real kind of motor oil at the bottom.
Tar. Oh, that explains on the front on the label. It says one more time boiled.
So you read that and had no idea what that meant.
Like, cool. Okay. It says blackstrap, I'm buying it, but I don't know what this means. And I said that to the cashier when I was checking out. I was like, this part of the label I get right here, I am fucking lost.
I'm going to skip this part. I have a bottle of this really dark Caribbean rum that's called Blackstrap Rum.
Yeah.
And that's got a certain stank to it that I was able to like gather a molasses taste from that.
All right, Tim. So that's the thing. I just saw molasses. It reminds me of my grandfather and I have like nostalgia with it.
Sure.
But mostly I thought it was like an underused ingredient. in the oversaturated market of all these cocktails, you change one ingredient and now that's a new cocktail.
Right.
I thought, wow, there's a lot of uncharted territory. There's this untapped resource of molasses. And then I was digging into like, what is made with it? Or like, what flavors do you, what do you taste that flavor in? Of course, there's a lot of dark rums that have like a molasses-y, Myers, for example. A lot of tiki stuff will have like little notes of it. So I was thinking rum. But what I wanted to do was Christmas meets tiki. Because they're both sweet and they're both spicy, right? But then as I'm experimenting, I'm thinking, great, molasses. Get a little lime to sharpen it up.
Get a little lime. Yes, yes.
Get a little rum in there. But then the rum was not quite... The rum was not quite Christmassy enough. And when I made the change to whiskey, that's when things really fell into place, you see.
Wow. Yeah.
I can see that. I can absolutely see that. And I like seeing, in this ingredient list, seeing whiskey. It's rum and molasses might be redundant, is what we're saying here.
Yeah. And I was even thinking, back when I was thinking rum, I was thinking like, I want to keep it easy. White Bacardi, because why add Myers to something that's you're adding molasses? Like, do the easy white rum, and then there's your molasses flavor. So this was just a big exercise in actually balancing stuff. I meant it to be a joke, and then it became an actual thing that I stressed about.
Wait, so I forgot to ask you my question there, which was that with the molasses, your grandfather was what, putting on pancakes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Got it.
And then actually, I'll give you the quick thing I do for breakfast. Make toast, put peanut butter on it, slice a banana on it, drizzle some molasses on it. Boosh.
Wow.
That's it.
It's really good. Anyway, folks, today the drink is called the Yule Mule.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Here's how you make it. 1.5 ounce whiskey. 1/2 ounce lime juice. 1/2 ounce molasses syrup. Now, I had to look that up. It's basically, you know, half molasses, half water. You heat it up. There's your syrup. It's easier to work with cocktails.
Now, yeah, how did you had to look it up, but you're the inventor.
Well, the molasses syrup is something that exists.
Yeah, well, in general, when I see syrup in a cocktail recipe, I assume it's like honey syrup is just half honey, half water, like simple syrup. Yeah. And it's just about making it more manageable. Because if you're a bartender at a bar, it's hard to put sticky molasses in a drink and shake it up. But if you have a bottle of...
Right. Molasses if syrup. You put pure molasses on a bunch of ice cubes, that's just going to turn into gel.
Right.
I assume. All right. The next ingredient. A dash of orange bitters. This was nice to sort of like brighten the whole affair.
Yes, that's very good.
Yes.
And then top up. And then ginger ale with which to top up.
yes.
But here's the method. IBA Stylies. Combine ingredients, minus ginger ale, in a shaker filled with ice. Shake and strain into an ice-filled glass.
Oh,
ice top filled. Up with ginger ale, not beer.
Ale.
Garnish with rosemary sprig and dash of nutmeg.
Nice.
Okay, so Mike, you see what he's done here is I'm reminded of almost like the French 75 or something. We're making a little sour. He's gone beautiful with the whiskey, lime,
he's
and
gone
molasses.
Mad is what he's gone.
He's gone mad. But I want to say in equal measure. You wouldn't think like lime and molasses go together, but here's the thing. They're kind of balancing each other. That lime's not really meant to come through, but the with the whiskey and the lime and the molasses, it's kind of a sour. It's a blackstrap sour. But then what he's done, Mike, is we pour that, we shake it, we pour in the glass, and then by topping it up, it's almost like with a French 75 or some of these very fancy cocktails where you've made a sour, but then you bubble it up into a highball. Jeff, is it a highball glass or an old-fashioned glass?
I'm going old-fashioned glass.
So an old-fashioned glass, typically, Mike... Typically, you'd use a highball glass with a carbonated drink, but Jeff is thinking it's the holidays. You want to walk around with a big old fashioned glass,
And you'll notice.
Could you give him his A+, please? So he'll shut up.
Yeah, yeah. Goddamn. Here's your gold star.
Jeez, I was gonna say it sounds sticky.
You could also pop it in a copper mug if you wanted, but
pop it in a copper
because you know there's it's the Yule Mule.
Right.
You know, it's basically a Kentucky mule, but you got a little molasses syrup in there. And the reason I didn't do ginger beer is because I thought the molasses already had the sort of stinky scratch on it. You don't.
Nobody
need...
likes ginger beer.
I tried it with ginger beer, and I said, "You know, it's too much. It's overpowering.
It's a throat scratch.
Spicy ginger beer, and then I love ginger beer, but I don't want to. Do you bring molasses to the table? It's a shootout.
That's the star.
Now, here's why I take in making the molasses syrup, Jeff. You're talking about doing it in a saucepan. How much fucking syrup did you make? I put a little. And I nuked a little of each of them. So I've got a little 1 ounce of.
You know what? I think that's just fine.
Great.
I have those little skinny bottles. You've seen them. You put like, you know what would look good in those would be like a little oil, a little Italian oil. The square
maybe
skinny bottles.
Oh, some yeah. Different layers I of, one of those. Layers of different color sand.
Hey, there yeah. You go. I filled one of those.
Seashell in there.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying to anyone listening, like, go to your shelf and you know, see that bottle of sand you have from Key West, Florida. Dump that out.
Dump it out.
Fill that up half with water, half with black strap molasses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you, when I was in, I think fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I think fifth grade. And we broke for spring break at my school and then we all came back. And a girl in my class had gone to Florida and she brought back a little keychain with a it said my beach on it. It had like some sand and some little tiny.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, oh, thanks so much. And then I took it. I put it in my pocket and I turned away. I was like, I've got a crush.
I'm crushing.
Somebody crushed on me. No, that's always crushed on me.
That's nice, Mike.
Woo. That's nice.
Ooh.
That's a good way to, it's sort of the precursor to, you know, how a lot of people will hand out little bottles of
Fireball.
Yeah.
The earlier, like childhood version of that would be sand from vacation.
Going on an expensive vacation, bring back a little sand keychain.
Now, did you and this woman ever do the horizontal, you know?
No.
Hibbity mambo.
Fifth grade.
Well, do you want to mix it up?
Wait, did I step on you? The garnish is a mint sprig and dash of nutmeg. I forgot to get a
rosemary sprig and dash of nutmeg.
Rosemary sprig, great. Jeff, I'm excited to use my orange bitters. I've got a bottle I never get to use.
Hooray.
It makes, you know, I use it sometimes to be like in lieu of an orange twist expressing over the top. Sometimes orange bitters will just give you the essence.
Yeah, you want the essence. And sometimes I'll plop it in an old fashioned, just a little
on top
of the Angostura.
You just mentioned in lieu of, Tim, this is a dumb question. You don't mean Lou Dobbs, do you?
I did, but I don't know. You know, it's Jeff's drink, so.
Yeah, no. Jeff, Lou Dobbs. Okay, nothing to do with this. Okay,
no.
Gotcha.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. With Yule Mules in hand.
Ooh.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The Sloppy Boys is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey folks, Mike Hanford from The Sloppy Boys here, and I wanted to ask you, do you ever have this feeling like you gotta get something off your chest? you know, you're walking around with something and you go, I just got to tell someone this. I just got to fix this thing. It happens to us all. We all carry around these different stressors, big and small. That's just how it is. But when we keep bottling it up, it can start to affect us negatively, and that's not good. But therapy is here to help. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work on whatever's weighing you down. Now look, you know me, I've been to therapy, I'm the therapy guy, I love it. And I gotta say, it does help when you go in there and talk to the therapist and say, you know what, my two co-hosts piss me off on a daily basis, it's weighing me down, what am I gonna do? That, of course, is a joke example, but you get what I'm saying. You can tell the therapist what you're feeling, and they'll help you learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Now, listen to this. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. That's right, you. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. That's pretty good. So, folks, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/sloppyboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sloppyboys. Go in there, talk to somebody, get it off your chest. Have a great time.
With the new sensation, the Yule Mule.
It's a new sensation? A new sensation.
It is impressive looking, and it is holiday looking.
Yes, but we don't judge drinks on the looks, do we?
No.
And we don't get swayed by the smell.
And no.
You know what I did with my rosemary? I clapped it before I put it in there.
Me too.
So I'm getting some smell.
You know what I did is I held it up between my butt cheeks and I twerked and I made it clap. And
ooh, I think we're going to have two different smells.
Yeah, two different smells.
Ooh.
All right, first sips.
Sips. Jefferson.
Hold on. I just got to write this down. Okay, it's 8:56 p.m., November 28th. Yes. This is the date and time of me having the best drink I've ever had in my life, Jefferson.
Can somebody take a picture of me? Because I just want to remember.
Yeah. I want a picture of me before I had the Yule Mule and after. This is great, Jeff.
Thank you.
It's like very rare that you're putting your mouth up to a drink, you're taking a sip, and you're having a taste that you've not had before. Yeah. I think that you're very right to not use ginger beer because I am getting molasses in this fucking... And my favorite whiskey is Crown Royal. And that's sort of disappearing. Like all the... I'm not getting lime. They all are working together. But this taste is like...
It's kind of balanced.
I could see myself being in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Skipper Bill is like, hey, tomorrow I'll take you down to see the mountains. And you go, wow.
Down to see the mountains.
You're on a plane.
you're on a private jet.
Wow. A blimp. Mm. Oh, this is good, Jeff.
Thank you. You know what it reminds me of is the bubbles. You know when you have a Fernet and you love it, but you put a little Coke in there, you get a Fernandito, it just kind of makes it a textural thing. It doesn't turn it into a soda. This just kind of has like a creamy, velvety thing because of that ginger ale.
Right, it's so just funny. A frother.
I can't put my finger on any of the flavors.
Right.
Like any for a second, I'm like, oh, that's ginger ale. Oh, but wait a minute, there's a little of the black strap. Molasses.
And what's this? Lime?
Lime. It shouldn't be there, but why am I? It's working so well.
I'm getting tiki. You said tiki, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of that can be applied with the nutmeg and the rosemary and such.
Yeah.
Well,
ooh.
I'll say this, that on the topic of nutmeg, while the smell enhances the experience and makes it more holiday-ish, if one thing that I'm having trouble with is looking at a a soda drink that has nutmeg on it.
With you don't dirt see on that. It?
you tend to see a lot of creamy drinks that top with nutmeg. Right. Every once in a while you have a tiki drink that's got nutmeg in the mix, but I don't know how I feel about looking down at my bubbly ginger ale and seeing some dirt.
Tim, you don't gotta look at it.
You know,
but maybe that's
mine's
part
all
of the,
stuck, mine's you know, stuck in the to method. My ice.
Close eyes while drinking.
Jeff, what about this year, if an option for people who don't like to look at dusty cubes?
Sure.
Put your dash of nutmeg in with the mix before you shake it.
You know, that's not a bad idea, Mike.
Yeah, that's good.
Mike, there's a video that I have mm-hmm. of you in Hawaii on your birthday getting a tiki drink at the, what was it called? It was called like Swords and Sandals or like Skulls and Bones. Or
it wasn't my birthday, but yes.
Skull and Crown?
Yeah, was that it?
Maybe we said it was your birthday or something because it was, or does that drink just have fire going on?
Because there was such pageantry. This drink showed up and it had a lime on it on fire because it had been cored out with a sugar cube.
Yeah.
And they were kind of doing, I think, is it cinnamon they powder on it?
Uh-huh,
to make the flame kind of crackle.
Yeah.
And they put on such a show for you. I thought, God, this might be his birthday.
Is it this guy's birthday? I think it was closer to your birthday.
They do that for Mike on a normal night.
It was such a
yes,
song
I remember that. That was a cool place. Were we wearing our vests that night, Jeff? Jeff and got some glittery vests and we wore those out and people loved it.
But the cinnamon or the nutmeg on top is good for the flames.
Oh, that's what was creating the sparks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A little crackling.
On that Hawaii trip, it was very funny that we all, it was like a group of us, and we met up in the lobby to go out to dinner one night, and you guys walked down in these matching, what do you call it? Not bedazzled, bejeweled.
Sequined,
yeah.
You came out with matching shiny sequin vests, and we all got a good laugh.
And bow ties.
And we all got a good laugh, and then we went out, and it was very fun. So then the next night, hey, meet in the lobby for dinner. You guys come down, two different sequin vests, did the joke again.
Just different colors.
Different colors.
They were the vests we had from the Birthday Boys sketch, the Titanic sketch.
Right.
And when we were like the song and dance people on the show and on the boat. And I was moving right before we went to that thing, and I'd like unearth them in my closet. I would go, ooh, this would be fun to have on the trip.
Yeah, and then Mike, it also plays into your new this little thing that I know you do, where you when you're traveling on the road on tour or something like that, if you can wear a clothes or have an item that when you're done with it, you just discard it.
Yep, if you're on like a pair of underpants that's kind of on its way out or socks. You wear it on the trip and you throw it away before you go home.
You'd be done with it.
Yep. And that one, too. I mean, you may have thrown yours out, but on the last bar on the last night, some guy walked up to him and was like, oh, these are great. I was like, do you want it? And he was like, oh, I don't know. And his girlfriend was like, are you taking that? he put it on. And then he had the fun night.
Wasn't that that day, the last morning when we were checking out, didn't you have like one slice of Domino's pizza left over and one can of Bud Light? I hate leaving stuff behind, but it's funny when you're like cleaning out the mini fridge and you're like, who wants to drink this Bud Light?
Oh, Jeff, this is great. This drink is great.
Thanks, man.
I'm very excited for people to try this because it is good. And I think it's going to be a hit with our listeners.
Yeah.
Because it's not off the wall. You know, I think a lot of time when I try to think of drinks for this show, it's like, what's the craziest thing I can come up with.
It is more complicated than I wanted it to be.
I think that...
Really?
Yeah.
Chill out on the preparation of the molasses syrup. I think that...
You could just go... If you shake the shit out of it, you might be okay with just molasses and a little water, huh?
It's so easy making it, though.
It might be about the order of adding stuff, too. But... I was going to say this, that you said a not off the wall... I agree, but it's like a very distinct flavor. Like I don't, this taste, remember we went on Doughboys recently, we did the grog. I feel like this is what I thought grog was going to be. It's got a depth.
Yeah,
like grog.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm sipping underneath.
It feels like it's got roots in it.
Yeah.
And that's very well put, Tim. I think that is what I would have pictured too.
It's sludgy and it's deep and it's bitter. But I was going to say that I knew you were cooking up something, Jay, and then I knew you had mentioned some molasses was going to be in the mix. When you finally sent us this recipe, I think that I maybe would have expected it to come out a little more plain and just be like, oh, it's a mule, because I hadn't really eaten molasses before. I didn't know that it's like tar.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought it would be like, you know, when sometimes you swap the sweeteners from like.
And not tar the composer. Keep going.
Yeah. No, that is what I meant. Sometimes you swap out sweeteners and it like from sugar to agave and it's kind of a lateral move, but and I thought this was going to just taste like a whiskey mule and be like that, but no. Mm-hmm. And you know, having a sweet, you know, you have the here's what I like. It's not a sweet cocktail at all because your sweet thing is molasses, which is also intense. So now you're adding the sour lime and the strong whiskey. You're just letting the ginger ale bring in the only sugar, really.
The molasses is like, on its own, it's kind of like a licorice-y taste.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't it kind of? I couldn't put my finger on it. It's not ashy.
I mean, it tastes like the bottom of a boot. You've been walking.
I wouldn't know if it was ashy yet.
You've been walking in boots all day, and they've got dark tar on the bottom, and then you bite the bottom.
Yeah, you've been walking around a volcano all day.
As it melts, this was one of my concerns, because I kept trying to be like, I don't want to lose the molasses. I don't want it to be like drinking a molasses drink. Mm-hmm. I want it to be in there a little bit. But as it melts down... during my test, I was like, I might have just created Coca-Cola.
It is.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
It does just kind of like we've backed ourselves into like it's ginger, molasses, lime, and a bunch of other things. It just tastes like Coke at a certain point.
I was going to say it tastes like fucking tamarind. You had tamarind soda? Like
no.
Those like Mexican glass bottle sodas, the brown one is tamarind, and molasses with lime together is really giving me that.
That's...
I'm ding you one more time on the nutmeg, Jay, because here's what I did.
Yeah.
I'm drinking with a straw. Mm-hmm. I halfway down, I said 86 the straw. I'm going lips to cubes on this one. And then I'm getting, now I'm chewing.
Yeah.
I'm, oh wait, no, that's lime pulp. Never mind.
Ooh, yeah. You take that back.
You owe an apology to the nutmeg.
Well,
company.
That's kind of nice chewing the lime pulp.
But question...
He likes it.
But what would you... You know, hey, this thing is not... we're still beta testing this. Do you have any tweaks?
You are very close, my friend. You know what's so nice about this drink, Jeff? It really is a holiday flavor. It's the sugar and spice.
And everything nice.
I think
and
so.
And everything nice. The sugar and the spice dancing in my heads while I'm sleeping. Oh, my God.
Thank you. You know, it's not just the name. You know, like... You know, it's not really a mule, really, but but it is a Yule mule.
That, you sound like the corn kid there for a second.
It's not a mule, but it is a Yule mule.
See, Jeff, I would. What's a mule? What's a Moscow mule? Vodka, lime,
ginger beer, lime,
and mint. Is there mint in a mule?
This is tasting more dark and stormy.
Right, it's really Kentucky mule-y.
Right, but
or
It's an elevated mule. Like if you piled this with all the other mules, I would say no. This molasses thing is special. I wonder. The only tweak I would do for me, not for your recipe, but for me in a round two, was I think I put too much. I used a double old fashioned glass, and then the ice cubes I used were like three kind of biggish cubes. So I maybe had to use too much Canada Dry to fill up my glass. And I think if I would have cut myself off earlier on the soda pour, I would have, because I am getting carbonation, and I kind of want what you guys have, which is more of just a silky drink.
I want what you guys have. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about going to therapy.
I want what you guys have, a wonderful friendship.
This is, wait. Yes, this is what I was going to say, Jeff. I was going to ask you, when you came up with this, you knew you wanted to have a molasses. Were you like, in your head, were you like, ooh, this would complement this taste? Or did you really have to like pour them all out, take a sip, go, ooh, that's bad. Pour different sips out, taste it, and go, ooh, that's closer. Or were you like, oh, I know this will help it, and then the bitters. The orange bitters is a good idea.
I that was last minute, and it did help because it needed a brightness without volume.
You were typing the recipe out for us, like, oh fuck.
Truly, this was like yesterday when I right before I sent you guys the recipe, I was like, oh yeah, maybe a little orange bitters, and I said, yes, Jeffy, right on the money, send it.
That rosemary's good.
Yeah, I kind of knew that.
Rosemary.
Molasses and lime were going to work together. I don't know why I thought that. And I always
gut
wanted...
instinct, a raw feeling you knew.
And then switching out the rum for whiskey kind of changed things up. But then I didn't really know until I made... Because I was making tiny little ones, like half ones in my smallest glasses.
Something a Smurf might drink, okay.
I would make the base, and then I topped one up with ginger beer. I topped one up with ginger ale. I topped one up with club soda. Ooh. And I said, no, it's ginger ale. But I didn't know until I made it full size. Like, I'm going to make it in a double old fashioned. I'm going to shake it. Because especially when you're topping up, that can change your whole balance.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I had to make a full size one, like, okay, ounce and a half of your spirit,
build
it up, and then, you know.
Yeah. Well, you've done a good job. I think for my round two, you know what I'm going to do?
Wow.
I'm going to make the same thing, but swap out the whiskey for the white rum.
Wow. I'd love to see it. You know what? They call that a Santa on the beach.
Oh, really?
They do?
Well, that's what I just
That's what you were going to call it. That's good.
Well, I was trying to do Christmas and tiki. Even though Sex on the Beach isn't tiki, but I said.
This is truly an original drink.
Yeah, well. All right, do you want to make a second round? We'll come back and we'll chit-chat a little more.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do just the normal recipe again, but I'm just going to shake up the molasses right into the shaker, and I'll report back on whether or not it what do you call that?
Can coagulate.
Became involved.
Oh, yes, okay. I'm going to do that too. All right,
get us involved with your story.
Folks, we'll see you right back here after this.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
And we're back with round two of the Yule Mule. I just did... instead of molasses syrup, full strength molasses, and it was harder to deal with, but it shook up just fine.
Mine, I did that too, but it did. It gunked up the top. Like when I looked at the strainer on the top of my shaker, there was some like black molasses still in the mix. But hey, You do whatever you, however you molasses, that's how you molasses.
Mm-hmm.
I did much less, smaller cubes so that I could do much less soda this time. Mm. So it's not, it looks like it's frothy instead of bubbly. So I'm excited to sip.
I put my nutmeg on my cubes and then poured everything over it. So it's sort of
dusty
distributed
cubes.
The cubes. Ooh. A little better. Or just distributed the nutmeg a little bit.
I dare say the stronger molasses, not the molasses syrup, is welcome.
Mm. Oh, I dare say less soda is very welcome. This is really good. This is more of a distinct, unique. We're getting into Trinidad sour territory. Where I'm saying, this
Timothy,
is
a, this you is make a, me blush.
This is a, this is a texture I've not had.
The rum, I think you're better with the whiskey there, Jeff.
Okay.
It's not bad. It just I had more of an interesting flavor with the rum. With the whiskey.
What rum did you do? Bacardi?
A Bacardi white. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's what I was playing with.
There's something about Bacardi, like in I think in most of the world they have Havana Club rum, and then here we have Bacardi, and there's something because of the embargo, there's it might even be the same company, but it's called something here, or you can't get that here, but there's something there.
Something's going on. Well,
what are your final thoughts on this? And don't pretend I'm not here. Pretend I'm not here.
I'll say this. My final thought is, if you like interesting flavor, this is an interesting flavor. I had never had molasses until today. I had my guesses. I always thought of it. I thought it would be brown sugar esque, but really, it's more like tar. And so with this drink, it's I like it a lot. It's an order again. It's delicious, but it's for people who I wouldn't call this a crowd pleaser. You know, like I would say when you got some people over for the holidays and they're intellectuals, serve them this. When you have some mouth breathing morons over, you know, give them who gives a fuck? Give them a fucking full kick in the ass. You know,
not worth the effort. Those types of people.
I think that we'll find this molasses taste to be divisive in a way that is interesting because I like
love
it.
Love it. I'll take that.
Interesting. Well, not unlike the creator of the cocktail himself. You're right. This is not for everyone. But it has its spots, doesn't it?
it's very few moments when it's tolerable.
It's tolerable. No, I'm teasing you. This is fantastic. I will order this again. I would like to go to a maybe I'll make one of those tapes where you go out and you say, hey, give me the Yule Mule. And they say, what's that? And you probably don't even have molasses made back there, you dumb shit.
They might.
This would be so much. There's certain drinks that you can ask a bartender to make and just explain it to them. But to walk them through this process, like shake and then top up. Oh, what an asshole.
Now, what if you didn't have molasses? What could you possibly?
Tar. Definitely tar.
Tar.
But you really can't. Like, there's no.
I guess maybe you're like Demerara syrup, remember?
Would maple syrup do it, or is that too different of a taste?
It might be a little different.
It's hard. Different. I mean, you're on the right track, except that maple syrup has so much more sweetness to it.
It's closer to brown sugar.
It's got a burnt, like a burnt brown butter kind of a vibe. Burnt sugar.
Brown butter, yeah.
Ooh, could be a good song.
All right. It's good. Well, this is an order again for me too. You know, but I mean, it's easy for me to say.
Jeff, are you stuck on the name? Is that what the name's going to be? The Yule Mule?
No, I mean, I'm open for.
It's good because Yule Mule rhymes. Yeah. Christmas Mule. Yes. What I would say is that
easy to say. Rolls
Yule, wonderful world. Mule makes sense because of the ginger and stuff. But I would say we're almost. It's almost making this sound more normal than it is. Like
it feels like Yule Mule should be like a Moscow Mule with a candy cane in it or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like
it deserves a bigger name. I think
I told you I recently went to
a distinct taste.
Clearman's Northwoods restaurant. This is like a log cabin. They have a whole menu of mules, and it's like, oh, well, this one has root beer, and this one has this, and this has that. If I drink this, I'm tasting molasses more than anything else. So it's, I would call it the Yule molasses beverage.
yeah, but like then mule is too boring.
Molasses, or like, also mule makes me think ginger beer. Like, right. And you know that this has ginger ale, so that's a technicality, but it doesn't taste enough like a mule to me. Right, that it's got to be named a Yule Mule.
Yeah, but the name is Yule Mule is a nice sounding name.
Mm-hmm. What about if I wanted to get grog in there, which would not be against the rules because there's lime.
Yeah.
No. If it could it be Yule Log Grog.
Yule Log Grog.
Log Grog.
I'll consider this.
Log Grog is not bad.
Yeah, but log.
there's no yeah. log. But don't you think
conjures a different thing. You need Yule log. You need Yule log.
I boiled up some turds and I made a drink. No, but the tar. You guys are. When I say tar, I'm not off base, right? There's a tar taste here, and I would say the way that I picture a lumberjack working with his saw when he like empties out the grease gauge on his
yeah, it's like all sawdust and motor oil and shit. Yeah. Yeah.
Log grog.
What about how about this reindeer mule? Just you're saying in like the hoofed four-legged animal.
If we're keeping mule, then it's Yule.
Yeah, then it's Yule.
Yeah.
Then it's Yule. Well, hey, you know, we're open to workshopping. Folks, if you got a better name, if you can top the Yule Mule.
I wouldn't open it up to the public, Jeff. Bad idea.
Leave it to the pros.
That's how we get the 1996 Olympic mascot, Izzy, the kooky cartoon character. I don't know if that's a good idea. No, I'm not. I don't think that was crowdsourced.
Hey, did you guys see a version of this that was so fucking funny? That's from my hometown. That did you see the I voted sticker? That was crazy. That's from Ulster County, New York.
It's like a purple head with red eyes and spider legs.
Yes, they were like they wanted to do something fun with the I voted sticker, so they opened it up like you could draw art and you can send it in, and there was going to be a vote on their little website. And some 14-year-old boy drew like a crazy man's face on a spider's body and says, I voted. And it's everybody in Ulster County like thought it was funny and started voting for it. And then because it's like on the internet, just like everybody started voting for it and it went viral. So like I looked at the room. I was in Kingston at the time when this was happening. And like there were like a few different options. The other options had like a couple hundred votes and that one had like millions of votes. and then it won. And then like
it's so crazy.
My brother lives in Kingston. So when he voted this year, like that was the sticker that he like had was
oh my God.
So funny.
I feel like I've seen that thing. I mean, you know, when you say it's gone viral, you know, I've seen it around. But I wonder if other voting districts picked it up because it's funny and beloved.
It's funny as fuck. It's so funny. It's like harmless. It's just crazy.
It's like wild looking.
But I love the idea of picturing like in that county, you know, like there's like lots of probably like grumpy old conservative voters going there like, oh, I'm voting to make America great again. Then they get the sticker and it's like this crazy spider boy.
They're like, I voted wrong.
Wait, you guys, we were talking about the name of this drink. You guys have heard of the Yule Mule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But have you heard of the Dutton Quiz?
Oh, no.
Yes, the inventor of this cocktail is not only known for his beverage tinkerings in the test kitchen, but he's also the subject of a hot new quiz that's all over the podcast circuit.
Okay.
I got one of the answers. 2.5 inches hard.
3 soft. Okay.
Yeah, it condenses.
So what we have here is a quiz of trivia questions revolving around our friend Jefferson Dutton.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to blurt out the answers. You don't have to buzz in or anything like that. Now, here's the thing. Jeff, you used to kind of complain that you were bad at the quizzes. You didn't do too well. But then I feel like you've had a lot of victories recently.
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Now,
these
questions are all autobiographical about your life. So you definitely have the edge.
Sure. And didn't Mitch lose the Mitch quiz?
Oh, Mitch is a moron.
He did. But yeah, it's tough because you get panicky, I think. Yeah.
You get panicky. And Jeff, start panicking because it's time for the Dutton quiz. Okay, here we go. Oh, and by the way, I'm the judge.
Okay.
Question one. Tisk, tisk. Young Jefferson used to work at...
PacSun.
Suncoast.
Mike's wrong, Jeff. It is Suncoast.
Suncoast.
PacSun doesn't have DVDs. It's sort of Pacific Sunwear.
Oh, it's like Vans and yeah.
Vans and stuff. Great store.
It's sort of like a Pacific Sunwear. Yeah, I guess.
It's, you could say.
You could say.
All right. Question number two. Yucko. In college, Jeff drank a gallon of
milk. Milk.
Jeff has it. Okay. He's pulling away in the Dutton quiz.
Well, I was sort of waiting for the thing to be asked, so I got to get right in there.
You can blurt, at any moment.
I got to blurt. Yeah.
Question number three. Well, you don't say. Jeff,
it could be any question.
Well, it's an interesting fact.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you don't say. Jeff once painted this character on a table.
Edward Scissorhands.
Jeff has it.
Oh.
Now, Mike, you're doing very good. It's been a speed thing, but you know these. It's the Los Feliz lag.
Yeah, it's a little.
Oh, right. Jeff says things on
the East Coast lag.
Because my voice just has to go down the street.
Yeah. Right. And Jeff, you're west of me, Jeff. So you say it, and then it kind of hits my ear before it gets to Hanford. It makes sense. Okay. Moving on to the next question. What in the world? Jeff's hair used to be this grapey color.
Pink.
Purple.
Purple.
Purple. All right.
He was a purple pea, but he was pink at one point,
too. Yeah.
Yeah, was that when the purple faded, or was it always...
He had to go purple on the way to pink, is the thing.
Very interesting.
You got okay. Pink so purple could... Pink walked so purple could run.
Mm-hmm. The other way around, but yeah.
Good.
Well, we're not here to talk about pink and purple all night. We're here to move on with the Dutton quiz. Ooh. All right. Mm-hmm. Next question. Looking good. Jeff once had this t-shirt professionally tailored.
Wolverine.
X-Men.
I'm giving it to Mike, even though it is right. X-Men.
Yeah, no, it's Wolverine.
It has Wolverine on it.
Wolverine was on it.
I found a t-shirt at a thrift store. It was small, and it said X-Men on the top, Wolverine down the side, and then there's three pictures of Wolverine. It was from like '93. It was a gem. I could sell the thing on Depop for like $600.
You probably could. And then, but you had it like. Because
it was like a children's size. It was very...
opened up and then added to.
Yeah, so I took like an old t-shirt and I brought it to a tailor and was just like, could you just put like, here's another shirt. Could you just like put a strip of fabric down the armpit and down the shirt? And then so many places were like, we don't do that. And I finally found one. I finally found one on Ventura.
That's a lot of work for a little t-shirt.
Oh, no. They could do that in their sleep, Tim. You don't know what these guys do.
Okay, I admit I don't know. I did that one. I had a white hat that was like a roper cap that had a yellow cord on a white hat, and the yellow was bleeding into the white hat. And I went into this Los Feliz dry cleaning place.
Stop the bleeding.
Stop the bleeding. Yeah, you have to put pressure on it. I was like, hey, I got this. And I was trying to be charming. You know, I was hey, I got this.
Like, I know this is weird, but I'm fun.
This is kind of weird, but your job's probably boring. I'm coming up with an interesting thing. And I did my whole spiel, and the guy just goes, no.
I got a lot of that with the Wolverine t-shirt, if you can believe it.
No. But I remember seeing it's so funny that you're like wearing that shirt. It's a cool shirt, but then you lift up your arms and you can see these strips going down the side.
I'll tell you what, COVID and drinking more and eating more and growing up, I got to get that shirt let out once again.
A few more strips.
Oh,
yeah,
damn.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're not here to talk about letting out shirts all night. We're here to move on with the Dutton quiz.
Sure.
Next question. Looking good. Jeff used to wear a shirt that had the name of this British city on it.
London.
Stockholm. What the fuck? Amsterdam.
It's a London shirt? It was a London shirt.
London. London. God damn.
Wait, it wasn't Liverpool?
That was London.
Oh, I had a Liverpool shirt as well.
Oh.
Wait, you had a London and a Liverpool?
Yes.
Well, Mike said London before you did, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so even though I didn't know about this London shirt, it means that Michael gets the point.
Was the Liverpool the hoodie that zipped up?
Nah, it was like a zippy thing with no hood.
Okay.
You but you're right. Yeah, I had a gray London shirt I wore all the time.
Yeah.
Now, for a guy who's never been to the UK, you had two different
two shirts
that said the
name. Hey, and not to mention Stockholm and Amsterdam, like I said.
Where did the... What? Why?
I don't know, man.
Okay. Well, I guess it's not for me to find out that information here on the Dutton Quiz. Moving on.
Quizmaster.
Okay, Jeff has four. Mike has two. Not so bad.
Hmm, nice.
Looking good. Jeff's got a shirt with the logo of this Mexican cerveza.
Modelo. Tecate.
Jefferson.
Oh, Modelo. That's a good shirt.
Three t-shirts in a row. My God.
Looking good. That's a hip shirt, Jeff. It's a hip tie-dyed shirt.
Thanks, buddy.
Oh, next question.
You can see it. God damn it. Go ahead.
Looking good. Jeff often drums in a shirt featuring this hydrogen-rich...
Watermelon.
Yes, God, Michael. God, on the board. Watermelon.
What was the final thing there?
Hydrogen-rich
pink fruit. Hydrogen-rich pink
fruit. Because there's two H's.
Okay. Blast off. Jeff's Budweiser shirt says this.
Out of this world.
Oh, shit.
Very good. Very good. Mike, can you picture the shirt?
I know the shirt. I just haven't read it enough times.
Well, moving on. Well, you can tell by the way he uses his walk, Jeff has a great new button-down shirt adorned with these.
Buttons?
No.
Z's?
It's a patterned shirt.
Top hats?
Stripes.
Nope. It's like a Hawaiian style shirt, but it's not flowers on there.
Surfboards?
It's kind of like black and white, sepia tone-ish, button-down
shirt. Oh, bar signs.
But it's specifically, I remember there being on there.
Neon signs.
Well, you can tell by the way he uses his walk.
Disco signs.
Yes, disco balls. Disco balls.
Oh, I was thinking of the ZZ Top song, Sharp Dressed Man.
Now, am I wrong, Jeff? In my memory, the shirt has disco balls on it.
It does have disco balls and other things.
Okay. Well, you can tell by the way he uses his walk. All right.
This to me, I'd have to go back and review the questions on a piece of paper or something, but it seems like a lot of them are about Jeff's shirts.
Yeah.
I can't really tell. I do know that Jeff has seven and you have three, so whatever it's about, you got to do better.
I got to stop worrying about what it's about and get my fucking shit together.
Exactly. Okay, next question. Never mind. Jeff wore this man's stripy shirt on Halloween.
Kurt Cobain.
Yes, Michael is catching up.
Things are
heating up. Kirk Cocaine, the grunger himself.
Kirko.
Next question.
Kirk Cocaine.
Okay. Not only is this guy on Jeff's shirt, but he also shot first.
Greedo.
Greedo.
Jeff gets Greedo.
Oh, Jeff got Greedo.
All right.
That was pretty close.
Thank God.
This one's kind of a deep pull. What in the world? Self-proclaimed Democrat Jeff Dutton used to wear a t-shirt from this Second Amendment type place.
Los Angeles Gun Club.
Yes, Jefferson.
Oh, damn. That was popular for a time. There was like, all of our friends were kind of like, everyone would be like, oh, you got to go to the gun club.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? That was like, it seemed like there was like a wave of people like, yeah, I went down there. It was fun.
Well, Mike, you go down to the gun club and you see and be seen. You know, it's one of those sort of places.
CNBC down at the...
Okay, let me see here. We have one question left. Now, the score is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 to 4.
Oh, nice.
But let me just see. There's something about this question. Oh.
Uh-oh.
The last question is a Daily Dutton.
What's it say?
And that means it's worth 10 points.
Oh, no.
Holy shit.
So that's
that's
very big.
That's exciting.
If I'm doing the math right, that means that it's really anyone's game here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the final question.
Tim, can I just say I was afraid of this sort of thing?
Yeah. I mean, you knew that the Dutton double was coming up.
This has bitten you before, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The final question. Well, this is problematic. Jeff once appeared as a guest on a talk show hosted by this alt-right icon.
Gavin Newsom. No, no.
Gavin.
Not Newsom. The Proud Boy guy.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Gavin Newman?
No, no, no.
Not Gavin Newsom, no.
Gavin Rossdale.
What the Gavin fuck's his name?
Fucking... Oh. McGinnis.
Yes, Jefferson Damn. Dutton has gotten the Dutton double, and that puts him at 19 so points. And you have won the Dutton quiz.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Wow.
And hey, Mike, you were also a peer.
Yeah, I was on that too.
Gavin
that
McGinnis
was
show.
That was before he got into he was trending towards his
it was
you
post
know, pest thing.
It was post Vice magazine.
Yeah, and I remember he had us on because he knew the Birthday Boys, and we were talking to him for a while, and he tried to, like, he was, like, baiting us into some kind of, like, sort of tough questions, like, why, like, I forget what it was, but yeah, something that we were like, I don't know if
which
we wanna,
groups
like,
of people do you hate?
But Jeff and I were like, oh, yeah, I don't know.
Like, I
it
don't
was something
know.
About the show. It was, like, spilling the beans about someone on the show or something.
Right.
And
right.
we were just like, oh, yeah. And he was like, okay, I can see I'm not getting you on those. Like, he wasn't pushing us at all. But
yeah,
he was trying.
Because he mostly wanted to talk about pool jumpers, which is nice.
Well, because he said, we met him at a wedding, and he said he went through a period where he watched pool jumpers every day. And that's what led him down his path to the Proud
oh, no.
Boy. Well, oh, boy. That concludes the Dutton quiz.
That was a good quiz.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
Good game.
Those are
GG.
Fun. Good game.
Now, Mike is wearing a Conn Smythe t-shirt right now. Remember that for the Hanford quiz.
Oh, Tim, if you only knew the backstory of that t-shirt.
This used to be a Dutton.
Did somebody gift you a Boston Bruins shirt?
Yes. Yeah. And then I was like, I don't know if I'm going to wear this. And you were like, I would.
It's Tim Thomas, the goalie from the Bruins, when they won their last Stanley Cup. He won the Conn Smythe.
Ooh, that's so funny that somebody gave Jeff an NHL shirt. Like, I know you. You're from New England. You'll want this.
You'll want this.
If I remember, Mike, around that time, somebody gave you a Ninja Turtle shirt, and you were like, I won't wear this. And
really?
I snatched it up. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I feel like, Mike, you inherited a whole wardrobe from Dave Ferguson. And sometimes, like, when you're coming out to L.A. for weddings, sometimes you arrive empty-handed, and Dave puts a suit on you and sends you on your way.
Dave and I are about this exactly the same size, and he's given me one key shirt. Polo shirt that I get compliments on all the time.
Is it like a yellow?
It's yellow and it's kind of it's very light and just kind of falls on the body very nicely.
It's like tissue paper.
And if I remember, it had shoulder like epaulettes on it, right?
Yeah, epaulettes on it.
And you cut them off.
Which make it not cool. And he gave it to me and I cut them off and it's been the best shirt ever since.
You know what's funny? He gave me a pair of brown pants.
Yes.
Were they brown all over and just in the seat?
They were brown. They're brown.
The back crotch.
All the while. Deep and through. So he gives me these pair of brown pants. And he's like, I don't know what to do with these. They were kind of like flared. You know, it was like early enough in our trip to LA that they were like, ooh, boot cut.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, I don't know if these are my style anymore. And I cut him into shorts. And he saw me the next day and he said, oh. Shorts. I should have known.
And you
Dave
said,
had the
he's got
he
the
had
stuff.
The best stuff. He just needed to use his
he
scissors.
Just did he's not creative.
Get the scissors out.
Dave gave me that. Remember that blue flannel I used to wear? Blue and black flannel. That was a cornerstone of my wardrobe back in the flannel days, and that was all sponsored by Ferg.
That was part of your offstage wardrobe and your onstage wardrobe.
Oh yeah, campers act casual.
Anytime a call for us to be like sort of rough woodsy guys, that would come out.
Very much just like how I've told you that in high school there was a dress code at my private Catholic high school, so I didn't buy jeans or t-shirts too much because I was like, what's the point? You can't wear them to school. Same kind of thing with when you're in a sketch group. I was sort of just wearing the sketch clothes. You know, you're hanging around normal day dressed as a cop.
Ferg dresses me once for Halloween. He's got into my closet and he got some khakis and a plaid and then got a long wig.
Oh my God. We got to find pictures of that. That was so funny.
Yeah.
Huh.
But the whole time I was like, security in my private area has been breached.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. And hey, can't get enough boys? Check out patreon.com/thesloppyboys, where you can unlock The Sloppy Boys Blowout, our weekly bonus episode, where we talk about the shit we really care about, like Gremlins.
Woo!
Yeah, a holiday film.
You know what I want to say, too? We got the sloppyboys.com open. We're selling t-shirts out there. The holidays are coming up. Maybe get... I would like to see a picture of somebody, their whole family. Peepaw, Bing Bong, Mom, mm-hmm. Daddy, and the kids all wearing the Sloppy Boys.
Snapper, Papper, and Lowball all wearing fucking shit. And, you know, we did a lot of t-shirt talk during the Dutton quiz. It's people are probably in the mood to spend.
Oh, yeah, on their especially after that. Yeah.
We should have a t-shirt that just says Dutton on it.
Yeah. I'm a Dutton. How do you Dutton?
You're a Dutton.
Well, we could sell them to the yellow. We could sell them to the Yellowstone crowd.
Oh, that's
or
true.
Yellow. What is it called? Yellowstone.
Right. Yellowstone. Yeah.
They won't know they're wearing Sloppy Boys merch. They probably.
How do you Dutton? That's good.
As if just not anyone could just make bootleg merch. We have to trick them into buying band merch.
What if it's like it says Dutton on it and it says like not the show, the drummer.
Right. Yeah, that's.
They'll be like, "There's no Dutton show. There's no show called Dutton."
Oh yeah, not says, from the show, from the drummer,
of the drummer. That could be. What if it says Dutton really big on the front, and then like on the back, down low by the butt, it says not from the show,
right?
Yeah. Of the drummer.
Dutton.
What about what if it's one of those novelty shirts that says Dutton, but there's an arrow going up and says one underneath the up arrow it says the Dutton, and then underneath it says. I don't know. What is it? The man and the myth? So the Dutton and
oh,
the myth.
Oh, that's good, yeah. Well, also, it could be cool if it's a t-shirt, right? So it could say, this type of shirt has no buttons, but
yeah.
But there's a good drummer named Dutton.
Ooh, what about an I'm with Dutton shirt and an arrow going to the side?
Yeah,
that's good.
That's good.
Could wear something like that.
Yeah, sure.
I wouldn't wear that.
Right.
I'm sort of more going for a classier look these days. T-shirts aren't really my thing.
Conn Smythe.
Yeah. T-shirts from, when did he win this? I think it's on here. 2010.
Well, hey, who's up next for making a drink? A pod-exclusive drink.
I've got some ideas, but I had an idea for a holiday one that I tried and it sucked, so I'm abandoning that.
I've been tinkering, and I'll just flat it out, even say what I'm working on, is that incorporating my beloved Sichuan chili oil into a martini of some sort.
Yeah,
and look at that.
I was trying to talk to Jack Schramm about ways of sort of incorporating the flavor, because oil will just float back up to the top.
Sure.
So he was telling me, I thought I would fat wash it, and he was like, no, you're going to want to infuse, where you put some chili oil in some vodka, and then you'll like get it cold and scoop out the cold oil.
Whoa. Oh, I see.
But I almost don't mind. I don't mind an oil slick on top of a martini.
It could be like a floater, and you just like, hey, you got to suck the oil first.
suck. It's the chili oil martini. I mean, you can see the t-shirts already.
I'm working on something with tequila in it, but you know, it's barely there.
Oh, you're working with tequila on that?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I have the recipe. I'm just trying to get the right sponsor to really push it over the top.
You should talk to a Pee Wee Herman.
Ha!
Could be good. All right, folks. Why don't we meet back here same time next week?
Love it.
I like that idea.
Bye, folks.